We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. Get ready to open the book of Daniel together at chapter 2. But hey, our phone lines are open right now. Love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We're ready to connect. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. The book of Daniel, chapter 2. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. I want to remind you that Daniel chapter 2 is about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, or the dreams, plural, as verse 1 tells us, that this man went to bed and he dreamt. Now, I want to say just a word by way of introduction about dreams. I had a very, very good question asked of me this week. Last week, I made a statement about dreams. And my statement was that God no longer speaks to us through dreams and visions. I still stand by that. But I want to clarify this because I want you to understand exactly what it is that I'm saying, which I believe comes from God's Word. God no longer reveals prophetic revelation through dreams and visions. There's no need for him to do that. God's prophecy is complete. We have in our possession the complete prophetic revelation of God in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, the reason I make that statement is that there are David Koreshes in the world. There are Jim Joneses still alive. There are people today who are standing on public platforms saying that God has spoken to them in a vision. And basically what they do is they harness around themselves a following of people who have itching ears, who want to hear what they want to hear. And these prophets like David Koresh, these self-proclaimed messiahs, if you please, set themselves up as pedestals and convince a certain segment of the population that they have themselves become Jesus Christ's. God says Jesus Christ was and is the complete revelation of God to man. He is the absolute fulfillment of everything. God no longer has need to speak through even evil men like Nebuchadnezzar concerning prophecy and revelation. We have the complete picture. So where do our dreams come into it? God can still inspire us through our dreams. God can still speak to our hearts. God can still cause thoughts to come into our minds while we sleep. God can still give us a word of assurance. God can still allow us to wake up in the morning with a fresh look upon the world compared to the despondency with which we viewed the world before we went to sleep. God can still pour out His Spirit upon us and speak to our hearts, but God certainly is not going to give us prophecy and vision related to revelation. Because His revelation is complete. There is nothing more to be done, and there is nothing more to be said. And if someone stands up tonight on television or in some segment of our society and says, God has spoken to me, and I want you to know that prior to the rapture of the church, Jesus is actually going to come back in the form of a man, and He's going to check out things for Himself upon the world, and He's going to give us special privileges and rights. Don't believe Him. That's exactly what happened with David Koresh. Folks, that's happening in segments of our society, and we need to be careful of that. The Bible warns us about false prophets. Be very careful of that. Don't follow that. This is our prophecy. This is our word. This is the completeness of God's revelation to mankind. And so it is that King Nebuchadnezzar becomes sleepless in Judah. He has a dream. He calls in his troops and he says, "Tell me not what I've dreamed, but tell me what my dream was about." And I submitted to you last time that this presentation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation thereof is very much like a spiritual play written by God through the Holy Spirit in three parts. The scene is Daniel's home or his cottage. The third act is from verse 24 through verse 30, inclusive of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. It takes place in the guardhouse and the palace, and you will remember the great consternation wherewith these men were confronted by the reality of the harshness of King Nebuchadnezzar. I concluded last week by making three statements. Number one, that no man can of himself understand the revelation of God. We are rendered useless in that department. We cannot of ourselves understand the revelation of God. Number two, a Christian is a man or woman on earth who is able to touch the things of heaven. What a privilege. By the way, tithing is part of that privilege. You see, when we tithe, as when we live for the Lord, and when we serve Him, and when we sing to Him, and when we praise Him, and when we pray to Him, and when we confess to Him, and when we fellowship with Him, these are all the things that become partners together in making us the kind of men and women who God gives to the authority and the capacity to be able to touch the things of heaven. I will submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that as I study the book of Daniel, on every occasion I ask God the following. I say to Him, "Lord, if there is any way possible that You would allow this feeble man, this pastor, this sinner saved by the grace through study, through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, would You allow me to touch the things of heaven?" So that when I speak from the pulpit at First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, South Carolina, that I'm able to share the things touched in heaven. That's the revelation of God. It's the unfolding of the character of God in heavenly places applied to our own lives upon this earth. Number three, and it follows logically, you cannot touch the things of God and the things that God does unless you have God living in you. Folks, it is absolutely spiritually impossible for a person who does not know Jesus Christ to communicate with God. Now, I want to run that by again. It is absolutely spiritually impossible for a person who does not know God through regeneration, through having confessed their sin and by faith trusting in Him. It is impossible for that person to be able to communicate and talk with God. It is impossible. Why? Because their sin separates themselves from God. God says that their eyes are not blinded, that they cannot see, and their ears are not stopped up, that they cannot hear. It is because of their sin that they have been separated from God. There is a wedge that has been driven between them. And it is only because of the grace of Jesus Christ, the full revelation of God in Christ Jesus, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to Himself, that you and I have access and the ability to be able to touch the things of heaven. What a wonderful privilege. And so it is that we come to this point in our study, and we are reminded here right throughout chapter 2 that our God reigns. We're moving now from Act 1 of the spiritual play from verse 10 through 13 into Act 2 from verse 14 through 23. And I want to read to you verse 13 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "And so," let's go back to verse 12 for those who were not here. "This made the king so angry." What made the king angry was that none of his wise men could tell him what he was dreaming about. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. And so the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death as well. Now, why was Daniel included in this morbid group? Well, you have to go back to chapter 1 and to verse 19, or go to verse 17, take a pick. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. In verse 19, the king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about them, which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. There was one problem. They now became grouped collectively with the Chaldeans and the sorcerers and all these people who consulted the Median. They were part and parcel and recipient of the king's anger. We now move in this particular stage right onto the front porch of Daniel himself. Daniel is all of a sudden threatened. Nebuchadnezzar has said, I'm going to kill all these wise men. And in verse 13, we have a transition verse that moves us from Act 1, which takes place in the palace of the king, to Act 2, which is going to take place around Daniel and in his own house. Notice, first of all, Daniel's predicament. Daniel was in a predicament. God had blessed him with great wisdom, and now he was included among the wise men, and the sentence was death. But I want you to notice, second of all, Daniel's poise. You see, in verse 14, the Bible says that when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and with tact. Now, folks, I must say something here, because this is one of the greatest challenges that we face in the world today, especially with our Christian faith. I believe that God, we need to pray to the Lord that God would give us great wisdom in the way in which we respond to the godlessness that is increasing around us.
Oh, forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of this great message from Dr. Don Wilton. But the world that is dark around us is not darker than the light that is within you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you? Would you like to talk with someone, pray with someone about that choice? Or perhaps you're at a place in your life where you know that it's time to deepen your commitment, and you'd like to have someone pray you through the next. We're ready to connect. Keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. A great place to discover great resources, free opportunities to get a Bible study from Dr. Wilton every day via email, other wonderful resources. That's online at tewonline.org. But also, a conversation right now in this day of typing and texting could be just what you need. We're here at 866-899-WORD 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. We would be pleased, privileged, and honored to pray with you and for you and connect with resources that will help you grow.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives to download Dr. Wilton's sermons or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton, or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, Looking Forward from Behind with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now I want you to listen very carefully. You see, when we begin to understand Daniel's poise in the middle of his predicament, we begin to learn something about Christian character and behavioral response, how God calls upon us to respond. Now, we all struggle with that, don't we? I struggled with that all my life. Because I'm a public speaker and because I'm out front, there have been many times in my life that some of the greatest mistakes I have made in my life, even as a believer, have been my intolerance. It has been my lack of discretion. It's been my lack of discernment. It's been my inability to judge real situations and to weigh up context and to ask God for wisdom in the way in which I respond and in the way in which I deal with things that sometimes can be very frustrating. James puts it like this in James chapter 1. He says, if any of you, by the way, lack wisdom, why don't you ask God? And guess what will happen? He won't just give it to you. He'll give it to you liberally. Now, moms and dads, how many moms and dads here tonight need some wisdom? I do. How many teenagers here tonight need wisdom? We need wisdom. You need wisdom. How do you respond when you're on that campus at school or when you go to college and you're faced with these predicaments and people come and say, listen, why don't you do this? Why don't you smoke that? Why don't you go there? Why don't you surrender that? We need to know how to respond in the predicaments of life. Churches are no different. Folks, there are things that happen in churches that cause great consternation. A church is a very delicate place because it's a church. But a church is a sea of individual people, every one of whom has their own personality and temperament. All of us come out of different perspectives. All of us have experienced pain and hurt and anger and joy and sorrow. And we come together as a church and we make decisions together as a church. And I want to tell you something. I am so deeply grateful that at First Baptist Church, God has seen fit to bless us with a spiritual unity and a happiness in this fellowship of encouragement. Would you say amen to that? Folks, I cherish that. God's the one who teaches us. He gives us restraint. But that doesn't take away the fact that we don't face crises in our lives. All of us face crises, some to greater and some to lesser extents. As I began to study this passage, God began to speak to my own heart on how to handle crises. How do you handle a crisis? Whatever it might be, a financial crisis, family crisis, physical crisis, emotional crisis, a mental crisis, a crisis that involves choice, a confrontational crisis, a character crisis, things that come upon us every moment of every day. How do we handle these things? I want to make six suggestions for you taken from God's word tonight. Let's see what Daniel did in the midst of his predicament. Number one, don't be in a hurry. I tell you, if you've anything like me, I'm one of these instant coffee generation people. I want it now and I want it real hot. I'm like that. But I tell you what, it's got real bad. I have to check myself. I've got to watch myself when I come to church because inevitably I'll get behind some dummy on the wrong side of the road. And they don't realize I've got to get to a meeting and they look as though they've got all week to get wherever it is they're going. I know you've never been there before. It's amazing, you know, we've got McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and we've got Chick-fil-A and we've got everything in between. We've got drive-thrus. Some places have got two and three drive-thrus and everything like that. But it is amazing how my fingers start to wrap when I tell you they've taken longer than 37 seconds to deliver my French fries and my broiled chicken with no mayo and mustard. And when I get it and it's cold, then I'm really going to be upset. What kind of place is this anyway? You see, folks, we live in a world in which we treat the crises of life in exactly the same way. We rush out the door and we want to act. And sometimes we act too quickly. We don't stop and think. And it seems to me here, this man, Daniel, was in a crisis. He was about to lose his head. And he turns to this man called Arioch and he buys time. If I could just roughly interpret the Aramaic dialogue that is going on here, he says, cool down, son. Let's not be in such a hurry. No. Let's not rush out here and execute me right now. Let's sit down and think about this. Let's talk about this man to man. You see, we live in a reactionary world. Folks, if you want to see reactionary, go to a high school basketball game and just watch some of the parents in the stands. Now, I'm going to stop right there and move on to the next subject. Listen, it's hard, especially when you have a son playing in a game, to sit on that seat and behave like a pastor. But you know, the reality is, folks, there's some people in the stands of life who explode over the most insignificant things. I mean, you'd think that that referee down there is the devil incarnate. And you'd think that by bursting a blood vessel up here, that he's going to change his call down there. And actually, he's not. And life becomes interpreted like that. And we are confronted by crises and we react out of the perspective of our mode of operation. Listen to what happens here. Don't be in a hurry. Calm down. Buy time. Number two, second step on how to handle a crisis is return to your roots. I want you to notice something in verse 16. The Bible says, at this Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. And then in verse 17, then Daniel returned to his house and explained these things to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel, about to lose his head, first of all buys time in his predicament. Then he turns around, walks away from his predicament, and he goes back to his roots. Do you know what he does? He says, you know, I don't know how to handle this exactly. He looks around and he sees people and he goes back to his roots. Could you help me work through this predicament? Could I share something with you? Folks, sometimes it's a good thing to unload. Go back to your roots. Catch your breath. Stop what you're doing. You're out of control. When you get out of control, you're going to get into a speed wobble. And if you get into a speed wobble, you become a candidate for a head-on collision. Just stop. Think about what's going on. Return to your roots. Number three, seek godly counsel. Talk to people. Gather them to yourselves. I was speaking about this morning, how that God speaks to us through godly friends, through parents, through those that God has placed around us, educators, doctors who not just administer medicine, but they are spiritual people. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. Our associates in the church, friends, people that we work with, our grandparents, go and sit down and talk to them and share your crisis with them. Number four, pray the prayer of faith.
What a powerful message. There's more to come tomorrow. I hope you'll join us again for the next edition of The Encouraging Word. But it could be that God has placed godly people like this radio station, this podcast, this actual delivery of the message of God from Dr. Don Wilton into your life because he is using it to speak through you and to you. If God stirred your heart and there's a response you'd like to have someone pray with you about, we're here to do that. Our number is 866-899-WORD. Now that's 866-899-9673. And we stand ready to connect with you 24 hours a day to talk, to listen, to pray, and to put great resources in your hands like the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. All those details are online at tewonline.org. We would love to connect with you. But before we get away, the most important thoughts from our pastor are next.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If you've given your heart to Jesus, if you've made a decision, perhaps a new line in the sand, and you'd like to have someone pray with you and for you, it's what we love to do. We're here at 866-899-WORD right now during the broadcast and actually 24 hours a day at the other end of 866-899-9673 and online at tewonline.org to speak with you, to pray with you, and maybe put some great resources like our free daily encouraging word Bible guide in your hand that'll help you grow in your faith.
Hello, everybody. You know, my friends know me as Don Wilton, pastor, friend, neighbor, dad, husband, grandpa. But I'm going to tell you, people all around the world, just like you, know and identify Dr. Billy Graham as that man that God used to reach so many people around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of knowing Mr. Graham in a very personal an intimate way, both as his friend and as his pastor. In fact, for many years, I drove up to his home in Montreat, North Carolina, and visited with him every Saturday. Just like friends do everywhere, we sat together and ate together, walked, talked. We discussed politics, friends, places, people. We laughed our heads off. We did everything one could possibly imagine. That's why I wrote this wonderful book, Saturdays with Billy. It's all about a personal relationship. And I hope and pray that Saturdays with Billy will be a blessing to you, will inspire you, and will encourage your heart, just as Mr. Graham encouraged my heart and changed my life. God bless you, my friends.
That's what we're here to do, to encourage you. 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. Also a great place to discover what it means to be an encourager.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. Just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That number once more is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org.
Preacher Wilt, I just wanted you to know how my family life has changed. I gave my heart to God listening to you on the radio. Now my wife has a new husband, and my kids have a new dad, and I thank God for your ministry.